morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Thursday, the 30th of July, 2020. My name's Nick Hurley here in Melbourne. Yesterday we had Rio Tinto, one of the world's largest iron ore miners, announce their results, part of the US reporting season, but also overlaps with our local reporting season, which is just about to start. They announced the second biggest half-yearly dividend in history of US $1.55, driven pretty much exclusively from the iron ore performance. Their other divisions, such as aluminium, have been quite poorly performing. This has driven, the iron ore performance is driven almost solely by the China economy rebounding, coming off the coronavirus shutdowns. Their infection rates are still incredibly low, only about 100 yesterday. There's a lot of stimulus spending from the central government there, driving demand for infrastructure and obviously the steel that goes into it. This brings up an interesting question. China is our largest customer, our largest export partner, and they're not large by just a little bit. They're large by 2.5 times the second biggest export partner, which is Japan. So we're phenomenally dependent on China for our trade. And as we've seen in the news a lot recently, there has been a huge amount of sort of animosity between China and most of the liberal Western democracies on numerous fronts, from Huawei's 5G through to the South China Sea incursions, through to general sort of Hong Kong tit for tat and the embassy closures in Texas, etc. So there's a lot of concern that where is this going? And a number of business leaders have sort of expressed their concern that, you know, we may be messing up something quite crucial to Australia's recovery from the pandemic. There seems to be a number of businesses that are too afraid to speak out frankly about their concerns about the state, the parlous state of relations that we currently have with China, and the need to take on the fact that China is both a major trading partner and a major player in our region, the Asia Pacific. So there's calls for a revised sort of policy or platform body that will help drive and improve those relations, which, you know, whether we like it or not, our economic prosperity is largely dependent upon. Okay, moving on to one of the most growing investment trends of recent years, and that's the flood of money moving towards ESG funds or ESG ETFs. These are products that invest only in companies that do good for the world per se, so they may avoid carbon intensive companies such as, you know, the oil companies, and or focus on companies that are developing technologies to reduce carbon emissions, or maybe, you know, avoiding weapon manufacturers and those sorts of things. It's booming in Europe alone. There are now 360 new ESG focused funds that were launched last year. That's according to Morningstar. And in Europe, we had €120 billion go into these funds last year, which was 2.5 times that was invested in 2018, the year before. What's becoming increasingly difficult, though, is to actually gauge the appropriateness of particular companies to be in these ESG funds. There's a lot of index providers that provide ESG sort of guidelines or indices that help people identify the companies that are purportedly ESG sort of compliant. Now, there's been an interesting case in the UK recently where there's a fast fashion company called Boohoo, and that was in a number of these ESG funds, and that was largely driven because they did a lot of their manufacturing, their clothing manufacturing, in the UK, in Leicester. And that led to a lot of companies going, oh, well, the manufacturing is in a, you know, developed country, we don't need to worry. Lo and behold, it's come out that the sort of the staff for that company were working in largely sweatshops and definitely getting paid below legal wages. So all of a sudden, this company that they thought was great is actually, you know, needs to be removed from the name. And some analysts are saying, you know, like Edentree Investment Management has questioned why sustainable funds would invest in fast fashion retailers at all, arguing that how could it be possible to make a £5 dress without a cheap labour supply chain, which, you know, it makes a lot of sense. But it highlights the sort of the need for asset managers to not rely on sometimes these external rating agencies, particularly when it's not terribly clear how thorough their research of these companies is. So one corporate governance specialist told the Financial Times that ESG rating providers sometimes took a tick box approach to scoring companies, while fund managers often failed to carry out sufficient due diligence on the rankings. And even if some of these investors are to carry out due diligence on the companies, they're only relying on what the companies themselves know. And in today's world of very complicated international global supply chains, it's sometimes the companies themselves don't really even know that the manufacturer that they're using based in, you know, let's say Japan is actually using a subcontractor in China, which is actually using a subcontractor in another country, and there's just those sorts of controls there. It's very hard to sort of look in detail, and it's certainly something that we'll probably see coming up more in the future, these sorts of issues. The European Union has done a lot of work this year on providing a taxonomy for these sorts of companies. So sort of a standardized structure to classify companies as being ESG compliant or impact compliant or whatever. And that's sort of still sort of bubbling away, and hopefully we'll hear more on that in the very near future. Moving to the markets, coming up later today, we have the release of a statement from the US Fed. Their chairman, Jerome Powell, will also have a press conference at about 2:30 Washington time. They're not expected to make any revised forecasts as a result of this meeting, but it will be very interesting to see whether they're looking at adding further support to markets, which is driving so much of what we're seeing globally at the moment. And in terms of the Australian market, we have the first of the private home approvals coming out, and they're expected to be down. They're down last month or in May, for down 4.4%. So probably something negative as well coming up today. And that's your early finance briefing for Thursday. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invested.